Forward to section 49. In this section, Whitman reprises another key theme of Song of Myself. Death and life are an endless process, inseparable from each other. We move here between two French words that echo each other, accoucheur and debouche. Accoucheur was a term used in Whitman's time for obstetricians or midwives, and debouche has associations with both birth and speaking. It means literally out of the mouth, and has come to suggest any emergence from a tight, constricted space into an open area. A river thus debouches into the sea. In the scene of birth, the midwife guides us through the flexible doors of the womb and birth canal into the world. But we realize the doors of birth are also the doors of death. We exit the womb only to eventually enter the grave. Identity forms and then it perishes. So Whitman offers us surprisingly lovely images of the active corpse. Yes, the poet tells us, the corpse becomes manure, but that manure grows new life, and when we smell the white roses, sweet-scented and growing, we need to remember that they are not just growing out of death, but are composed of death. Any new plant's leafing happens only because of the leavings of many deaths. We shock ourselves into the realization that this body of ours is in fact the leavings of many deaths. Each of us exists only because of those deaths, and each of us has life only because life, whatever this animating force that we call life is perpetually transferred. There's an eternal procession of promotions, etymologically a moving forward, as matter is continually reformed and put in motion by what we call soul. Then Whitman performs the notable feat of imagining himself as the corpse, still with the means of reaching, as his dispersed atoms now find themselves occupying new life forms as they reach to the leafy lips and reach to the polished breasts of melons. There's an eroticism to death here. The decaying body interpenetrates with the sexualized and always fertile landscape. Just as back in section 5, Whitman imagined that his soul reached till you felt my beard and reached till you held my feet, as the soul charged up the material body. So here is there an explicit yet obscure sex act, this time between death and life, as death itself energizes and animates life. By the end of the section, Whitman associates the night and the cold, lifeless moon with death, but then affirms that the only reason we can even see the moon is that it reflects daylight, warmth, and life. Moon and sun, darkness and day, death and life are the endless reflected cyclings of a unitary, uninterrupted reality. So, in the final few lines, the act of the accoucheur is repeated. In a dark swamp scene, we can hear the moaning gibberish of the turbid pool that is constantly breaking down old forms and generating new ones. Now birth and identity become an ascent from the moon and the night into the daylight of identity, into perception, as we exit from a dark place into the openness of existence, gaining our identity from the offspring, great or small. In the final line, Whitman underscores the oneness of the endless process of birth and death by suggesting that any new birth comes from previous offspring who have themselves lived and died, so that we, the current offspring, may occupy the steady and central realm of consciousness and life in the ongoing present moment. Life, which is always only contained in the single steady moment of the present, is a continual springing off of and out of death. So death is merely another word for former life, or more precisely, another word for forms of life that have now sprung into other forms of life, endlessly transferring it into the always emerging physical now.